Good evening, everyone, again. Wish you all the Lord's blessing. It's good to be here with you. Just want to thank you for the songs that were led there, the inspiration of those, and also the thought of how much we need God. And we, at this time, we do need God in a real way. And yet, as Brother Allen shared, it's so easy to become, we take care of our own things, and it seems like we can kind of go on without God. And it's a good reminder. I want to thank you for that. And thinking of how sometimes we think we can handle it, and we seem to be strong in our own eyes. And as there it says in Psalms, God is looking for those that are lowly, humble, someone of a humble heart. And who would be a better example of that than Christ, of being a most powerful? He was almighty, and yet he was humble, as we need to be and as God wants us to be. So thinking of developing a Christ-like character, when I think of developing, I think of a development, a housing development, or there's different things you could think about. If you think of a barren field that is taken and the dirt's moved and the roads are made in, cut into that, there's water brought in, there's power brought in, and then there's houses built. And so it's a process. It's something that takes time. If you look at the definition of develop, it says bring toward fulfillment, to improve the quality of, to bring into being gradually, to grow by degrees into a more advanced or mature state. And I believe as Christians that's what we should be. We should be developing into more of a Christ-like character. Character comes from the word chisel. When I think of chisel, I think of a piece of wood or a piece of stone that people chisel out different things out of those. Some people can really carve. And as our character is chiseled, it's shaped, God should be the shaping that, and we should be allowing him to shape us, to develop us into a more Christ-like state. So for a few verses to start, Galatians 5:22, you don't have to turn to these, I'll just be looking at a few here and there to start with. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And there it pretty well lays it out there, what the fruit of the Spirit is. If we look at Christ's life, we look at this, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things. Tonight on the way over, it took some patience. We were a few minutes late, but then we had to wait on a train. The seemed like traffic was slow. We didn't hit the lights right and had to use the restroom. So I thought I need this as much as anybody, to be patient. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there we get the idea that as we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, we are. Could you say we're developing into a more of a Christ-like character in this life? As we behold his glory, as we spend time with God, And that glory, could you say, we grow in glory, the glory of the Lord, just by degrees. And then in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And there, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, talking about us as believers of Christ, to be conformed to the image of his Son, conformed to be more like Christ, to become more Christ-like. And it says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that Jesus would be the firstborn, and we can be his brethren, is what I take out of this. So that is, I believe, the desire that God has for us as man, that we become more and more like Christ, more and more like him. In John 1 there, it talks about the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And that is always stands out to me, how when I think back on in the Old Testament, how God gave them the law, all the things that they had to do, as Brother Ed is sharing with us, the tabernacle, all the details in that, everything, he laid everything out for them in a very meticulous way. And now, in the New Testament, God didn't send us a lot of writing, a lot of rigid literature, a lot of direction. We have a lot of direction, but he sent Jesus as the living Word, so that we have an example to follow after, so we have something to look to become like, to become more and more like the one who saved us. So as we look to Jesus, we see he was the only one with perfect character. He had a perfect character, one that we can follow after, of truth, justice, wisdom, self-control. In John 12:26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And all these things, it's nothing new, but it's something that I need to work on in my life, where I look to Christ and become more and more and more like him. And I think we can see that, especially in older brothers and sisters that have weathered the storms. They've become sweeter with age, you could say. They've gotten more of that glory, the glory of Christ. And that gives us hope and courage to go on when we see that. So that's a blessing in you, older brothers and sisters, that we can look to you and see that you've weathered the storm, you've become more like Christ, and that should be all our goal, that we can do that. Humility is a foundation, is the foundation of all virtues, as the saying goes. Charles Spurgeon wrote, humility is the proper estimate of oneself, and as was shared in the devotional, God looks for humble people. We can be generous, we can be compassionate, we can do service, we can act all these things out, but if we don't have true humility, it's all empty, it's all vain. There's nothing there. And sometimes we struggle with having inflated feelings, and sometimes we struggle with we struggle to have a proper estimate of ourselves and to see what God is looking for us and how he has made us. In Matthew 18, the first part there, the first couple verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So except we become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, except we be humble as a child. We don't see too many proud children. I mean, there's something like that probably, but most, especially little children, they are not proud. They're just themselves. They are who they are. They forgive easily, and they love freely. Humility, we could say, is greatness in the kingdom of God. Humility is greatness. Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. I think it's clear that we have a choice to make here, that we can lift ourselves up or we can walk humbly with our God. 1 Peter 5, Peter gives direction here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we look at humility as, humility is a virtue that we must have in becoming Christ-like. We see Christ was humble. He practiced humility. We could say he was humble all the way to the cross. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the prayer in John 17, I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So being humble, humility. Now we'll look at our thoughts. And I believe in maintaining a pure thought life, the thought, our thoughts are the seed of action. What we think is where is how we act. Finally, it comes out. So how are our thoughts? Are our thoughts pure? Are they holy? Are they humble? Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So most every battle, most everything starts in our mind. The things that we struggle with start in our mind. How is our thought life? Now, we all have struggles. We all have things that we have to work with. And I think God realizes that. He realizes we're not perfect, we're only man. But as we strive to follow after Christ, he will help us. He will give us the strength. In Genesis 8:21, this was after Noah came out of the ark and sent up a sacrifice. It says, The Lord smelled a sweet savor. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So the Lord, we see how he destroyed all the wickedness, all, it says the people's imaginations were wicked from just continually. And now after the flood, God said, he realizes man, the imagination of man's heart is evil. And I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. So God realizes that He knows how he made us because he made us. So he's our the author and the finisher of our of us and the faith. Jesus said, an evil tree will bring forth evil fruit, a good tree will bring forth good fruit. So if we keep the tree pure, the thoughts pure, the fruit will be pure, and the life can be pure. If we have wicked thoughts, evil thoughts, those will bear fruit sometime. We cannot hide from them. In 2 Corinthians 10:5 it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do we bring into captivity every thought? Do we take it through the filter of God's word? Sometimes we, especially nowadays, we can be so busy, we can be so wrapped up that we don't take time to really think sometimes the way we should. We can just be listening to good things. We can be constantly listening and busy that we hardly have time to think. So we need to think, we need to meditate, but we also need to have that under the blood of Christ. In Philippians 4, it says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says, let your moderation be known to all men. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's so easy to become worried, to become distracted with things. But it says we shouldn't be careful for anything, but by prayer and supplication. And I have times where I find myself getting uptight. I can't focus on the Word of God. I have a hard time staying focused, and then all of a sudden it hits me that I've not been giving everything to God. I've been trying to do these things on my own, and I've not been casting my cares upon Him, because it says He cares for us. He wants us to do that. It says by prayer and supplication. So it says by praying to Him, by crying out to Him, and being thankful. It says, let your requests be made known to God. And then that peace can wash over us, the peace that we all want to have. And then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we can do that, that is a blessing. If we can focus on good things, true things, honest things, and if we could practice that, there wouldn't be any gossip. That would be it would be perfect, but we're not perfect. We're being developed, we're being chiseled by, if we're allowing God to chisel us. As it says there, not exactly sure where it talks about the potter and the clay. God is the potter, we are the clay. Are we allowing Him to shape us, to mold us, and to form us in the way He wants us to be? May we allow Him to do that. Little things in our lives shape our character. Sometimes we focus on the big things, but the little things are parts of the great. If we think of a flood, raindrops, they're just part of something big. If we think of all the snow on the mountains, that most likely all came in snowflakes and small flakes. So small parts turn into big things. If we look at the grass, if we look out on a big field, all the green grass, it's one blade at a time. So the little things do matter in our life as we're being develop. Little saying here, the lesson to be learned in the world today is to apply in the little acts and duties of life the glorious principles of the gospel. If we can apply in our everyday acts, in whatever we do, the glorious principles of the gospel. So as we think of the greater part of our life is made up of little things. So if we season these little things, if we allow the word of God to guide us, to help us to make wise choices, do things with patience, that would be like a sweetener in life that will make, be like honey. It will sweeten up the things of our everyday life. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." I'm sure many of you moms, especially, you give your children a glass of water, you don't even think about it. And you dads as well. We hardly think about that. But Jesus said, if we do that only in the name of a disciple, you shall in no wise lose your reward. So little things that we don't think about, they do matter. When I find myself when I'm helping maybe my young sons, the one, especially the 3-year-old, he's 3 right now, and they take some time when we're getting them dressed, whatever we're doing, they want to talk and they want to do things that are on their own, and they want to do this, they want to do that, and it's so easy to just rush them and get things done and not take time to really listen to them and really care for them like we should. But that's important that we do that. Jesus said even a drink of cold water is important. So let's remember the small things like that have an impact. Our destiny is not a matter of chance, but it's a matter of choice. It's not something to be waited for, but it's something to be achieved. Now, this is not, I don't want to say that this is something that we work for. We need God's help. We need His Spirit to be with us to help us in these things. It's not that we work our way into this, but that we allow God to do His work in us. So as we think of Jesus, our perfect example, Jesus practiced self-control in Matthew 4:2, where He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was compassionate to the sick in Matthew 8:2 places there. In Matthew 8, He says, there was a leper that came to Him, and the leper came and said, you can heal me if you want to, or in those words. And Jesus said, I will. Jesus wanted to heal him. And there was another one that had a sick daughter, and Jesus said, I will. So Jesus was compassionate to the sick, to the poor, to the rich. In Matthew 19, there the rich young ruler came to Him, and Jesus loved him. Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus loved the little children, took time for them. He was also betrayed by Judas, yet He called him a friend. In Matthew 26:50 there, He said, friend. All the disciples deserted Him, still He loved them. He was patient. If you look at His band of followers or disciples, you would think he could have easily become impatient with them, and they just didn't understand. They just couldn't see what He was trying to teach them. But finally they did. He was patient with them. He shared food with thousands in Matthew 15. Jesus taught us to love our enemies in Matthew 5. And when they came to get Jesus, He didn't fight back. He practiced what He preached. So He's the perfect example for us. In Luke 9, 49, John saw someone else, he saw casting out devils in their name, and they told Jesus, we forbade him to do that because he followed not us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. I was just thinking, I'm not sure who someone was sharing that we're in different stages in our lives, in our different maturity or wherever we're going. As a young believer, as an older believer, we can be perfect through Jesus. And I had to think here, as Jesus said, forbid him not. You know, we don't know who that was or was he where he was. Jesus listened to the woman at the well when that woman of Samaria was there. Jesus listened to her. He took time. Genuine listening means suspending memory, desire, and judgment, and for a few moments at least listening for the existing for the other person. How often when I listen to someone do I have preconceived ideas or preconceived judgment? But if we genuinely listen, that means we suspend our memory, our desire, and judgment. We eliminate all that and we sincerely listen to our brother or a sister. In closing, I'd like to turn to 1 John. 1 John 2. A few verses here. First John 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So here's a promise. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if we claim to be a child of God and we keep his commandments, we allow him to shape us, to mold us, to chisel us out more in the character of Jesus, that we become more and more Christ-like. Every day it says that we can know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And it says, but whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. So that is God's greatest desire for us, is that we keep his word, that we follow after Jesus, the one he sent to die for our sins so that we can have life. That is God's deepest desire for us, and that should be our desire, that we can be more and more like him. And it's not in our own strength. It's clearly not attainable. We can't get there on our own strength. But as God has given us the Holy Spirit to work within us, to change us from within, is, I believe, how we become more and more Christ-like. So may God bless you all. It's been good to get to know you all here better. And you're welcome to come to Plummer anytime. We always enjoy visitors. So may the Lord bless each one of you. Bless you, Brother Ed.